people in pandemic at pandemic levels say that they don't understand the meaning of life. They find nothing but emptiness. There's nothing, there's no hope. That's the world that we live in today. And although we are saved and we have a home in heaven, oftentimes we become very temporal in our views. And as that happens, as the world crashes in around us, we can sometimes take a carnal, a fleshly perspective when it comes to the idea of fear, and our fear can become misplaced and can really rule our lives if we do not take a biblical approach. So what is this idea of anxiety? What is this idea of the fear that can overwhelm us without the biblical foundation? This idea that we can, you know, something traumatic happens in our life, and we have two options. We can choose to run to God and His Word, claim His promises, often easier said than done, or we can take the natural route, which is depression and suicidal thoughts and all these flesh-made, man-made options, if you will, for coping and dealing with our fears and our anxieties. What does God's Word say about anxiety? It addresses it very specifically here in Philippians 4. Yes, Stephen.
Careful for nothing.
Yes. Exactly. So how do we access the peace that passes understanding?
God's Word.
We do.
With?
And that's the key. Paul's writing to the Philippians, and Paul was not, you see in Philippians 1, he's practicing this. He talks to the Philippians right at the beginning. He says, in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He's thanking God continually. And I would submit to you that a heart of thankfulness is the key in conjunction with prayer that unlocks the peace that passes all understanding. If we don't have a thankful heart for all the good things that God has done and all the blessings that He has lavished on us, then we're not going to have a full understanding of God's goodness in our life as a whole. We will become very focused on what I'm dealing with right now. Excuse me. And if we don't have that thankful heart in the moment of hardship, it's going to be very difficult to bring that prayer and supplication to God and to access that peace that God promises if we do. We touched on this Sunday morning, if you were here for Sunday school, but the privileges that we have as believers when it comes to prayer and when it comes to accessing God's power and strength, you find that in Hebrews chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there, I'll read a couple verses. We need to understand, we need to have a strong grasp of just the caliber of the privilege that we have through Christ. The Bible says that we are priests. Christ is our high priest making intercession for us. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, says, "Seeing then that we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Christ is our confidence. Christ is our high priest. All the implications of salvation, our eternal security, are wrapped up in the truth that Christ is living. He is interceding for us on a daily basis, and He stands before the Father interceding on our behalf. It goes on and says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Christ experienced every element of hardship that humans experience. He experienced hunger, thirst, death of loved ones, the physical pain, and dying. Anything that can negatively affect a human being, Christ experienced in one way or another, and to one degree or another. He was as much a person as we are in our daily life. And so He has experienced these hardships. He's experienced these things. And so but it continues and says, yet without sin. So Christ had the correct response in the face of those hardships and in the face of those trials. That's the goal for us. So it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pastor Long mentioned in his morning message, he talked a lot about the Muslim culture in Iran and the dangers that are found there with the persecution, people being killed for their faith. That's worldwide right now. The Christian camps in North Korea, the camps where they send Christians, which they call political prisoners, they house hundreds of thousands of people who are put under concentration-level styled camps, and most of them die within those camps, and they're there for life, typically. And that's the reality for so many Christians in the world. And something Pastor mentioned on Sunday was, oftentimes we don't believe that we can handle this. If this ever happens, if this person in my life dies, I'm not going to be able to handle that. But yes, you will, because at that moment, God gives the grace. At the point that we need it, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace overflows, and it surpasses all that we do need, but oftentimes, he doesn't pour out that specific grace until the moment that we need it. And at that moment, he will be sufficient, and he will be your strength. And those promises are replete throughout Scripture. And that's why the writer of Hebrews here says, at that point, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So going back to Philippians 4. Paul writes, be careful for nothing. The idea of the word careful just means anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about things. Don't worry about the future, in essence. Don't concern yourself about the temporal things that surround you. But in everything by prayer and supplication just means essentially to ask. It can carry with it the stronger implication of begging, beseeching, getting down on your knees and pleading with somebody to supply those needs. But as we pray and we offer our supplication, we ask God to provide these things for us. God, he gives that caveat, with thanksgiving. Is it possible to offer prayer without a thankful heart? Yes. But God is saying, if you want your prayer to be effectual, if you want that peace that goes beyond what you're even what you can potentially understand at this point, if you want that grace to help in time of need, come to me with a thankful heart. Remember all the good that I've poured out on you, all the blessings. That's something that we easily forget in our culture, in our society. Because we are such a materialistic society, we have so much stuff, every luxury and comfort at our fingertips. And that's not a bad thing. It's not wrong, but it helps us to forget all the good, all the blessings that we do have. Because we start to look at things that other people would consider to be enormous blessings, and we look at them as a curse. Well, my house is too small, and my car is too old. And all those things become distractions when it comes to our spiritual life, or they can. It's the natural inclination of our flesh to complain, if I can put it that way. But God wants us to be thankful for what we do have and what he's given us. He has given us so much. My dad used to tell me all the time, you could have been born in any other country in the world. And that's true. You know, how blessed and fortunate are we to be born in this country where we have these freedoms? I could be standing here in Iran right now and somebody could come through the back door and shoot me and be legally correct according to their law. when you start to understand just how blessed we are, that's when your heart can be opened up to a heart of thankfulness and praise. Even in the hardship, you can still understand that God is good. That is one of his foremost attributes. God is always good. And God will be good with me through this time. I shared in Sunday school how my brother, my younger brother, he's a year younger than me, was diagnosed with thyroid cancer a year ago. And he's cancer-free now. But that was a scary time for me. But God grew me so much throughout that time because he was all, I had to run to God. I had those two choices. I could go have a pity party and try to sort through everything mentally and all. And, you know, there's some of that still. You have to process. But at the same time, God says, come to me. Come to me with a thankful heart. Bring your requests unto me. I'm the one that can solve these things. And I'm the one that can turn all these things into good. God knows the future. God has every one of us secure within his hand as believers. And if we'll trust him with our lives, he's going to work all the situations and all of the problems and all of the hardships and trials and temptations in our life. He's going to work those together for our good. Talked again Sunday about being conformed to Christ's image, being sanctified and grown to become more and more like Christ until we get rid of this flesh and step into eternity, into heaven. That's the goal. And all those trials and hardships and temptations that we've experienced and that we will experience throughout our life, that's all part of that. That's all part of that developing more and more like Christ, if we'll allow God to do that in our lives. Paul, he goes on here, we've made our requests before God with thanksgiving. And once we have gotten to that point, at that point within our trial, within our situation, that point is where the anxiety starts to melt away. And Paul says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I believe that that's a peace, that's a level of peace that we can't know until we get there, until we are in that situation. And that's what Hebrews is talking about. Grace for that time, grace in that hour, that is sufficient to meet the need of that hour. And then Paul finishes out in verse 8, as he tries to gear our minds towards having that heart of thankfulness. He says, and how antithetical to so many things in our American culture, but he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God is calling us to have a mind that thinks on beauty, a mind that is focused upon God, a mind that is emphasizing God's holiness and filtering everything around us through that filter rather than filtering God through everything around us. If we grasped just an element of what it's like to always think things that are true, always think things that are honest, lovely, of good report, our lives would be transformed. And everything behind this, it would just be second nature. But we need to go back to this, and we need to take each one of these things. We need to take these things, and in the face of a culture that is diametrically opposed to these truths, we still take those truths. We apply them to our heart. We look in the face of culture, in a face of a culture of death and despair and anxiety and fear, and we take those biblical principles and we can turn to God and face those things that would otherwise cause us such anxiety and fear in spite of the natural tendencies. So those are just some of the thoughts that I had as I pondered this, but I think it is a pertinent topic. I think a lot of people do struggle with the fears that come and with the fears of the unknown, the what ifs, and we don't know the future. But God does, and God will be with us in that future, in that day, at that moment when everything turns on its head. God will be sufficient. God will give us the grace that we need in that moment to be established and to rely on Him. Special truths and really incredible things to think about. But I hope that's an encouragement. I hope that is a help as we face trials, even this year, as we look to the future. I pray that we can remember these principles and apply them to our lives. So, all right, we're going to take some prayer requests here.